All right, welcome back for the final hour of Cancel the Cabal on Revolution Radio and PSN Radio. I am continuing on. I have another guest for the last hour here. I also want to say that one of the promos there just a few minutes ago said that we are listener supported. So if you like what we're doing here, please go hit that donate button. My second guest is an author of numerous books. I think I counted maybe 27 or 28 books. One of his books is, actually, some of them are The King's Book of Numerology. I think he has three editions of that. And he has also books, Message from the Masters. Let me get some of these others here. Parenting Wisdom, Age of the Female, Heroines of the Shift, The Black Belt, Book of Life, Destinies of the Rich and Famous. I want to welcome Richard Andrew King to the show. Welcome, Richard.
Hi, Stephen. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me, and thanks to your listeners for tuning in. And by the way, I don't have 28 books. You're way ahead of the game with me. Just 16.
16.
10 of them are numerology books, and the other six are non-numerology books, including some of the titles that you mentioned.
Sorry about that. Yes.
No, good. I like the hype. It's good.
Tell us at Revolution Radio and PSN Radio what numerology is, Richard.
Numerology is the science of numeric coding, in which numbers and their corresponding letter values define and describe our lives and destinies. Do you remember Pythagoras? We all remember him from geometry class in school, usually, right?
Yes, yes, I do.
And he was the first pure mathematician, and he said, numbers rule the universe. Everything is arranged according to number and mathematical shape. That was 2,500 years ago. And everything really does include, believe it or not, our destinies, which are contained within our full birth name and birth date.
Yeah, you happened to mention, how does that actually work, Richard? How does your astrological sign and your birth date and the time of the day, how does that all work anyways?
Well, I'm not an astrologer, Stephen. I'm a numerologist, so I cannot speak to astrology, although I have had some astrological readings in my life, and a good astrologer can tell you a great deal about your life. What I do is use numbers and names. Our names and our birth dates are not arbitrary. We do not have, and we're not born with a certain name on a certain date because we have a certain destiny, but rather we were born with a certain name on a certain date because we have a certain destiny. In other words, all of this was pre-planned. We do have a destiny. That destiny was set before we exited our mother's womb. Our name, every name of our name, let's say a person has three names, which is common in the West, each of those names has a vibratory cipher related to it and multiple layers of ciphers. Our whole name has the same thing. Each letter has a number. So those names have letters. Those letters are associated with numbers. Numbers are labels for energy fields. And so by understanding how those numbers relate to the energy fields and their attributes, we can actually set up a chart to understand where a person is going, what their attributes are, their life path, the role they will give on the great life stage, who they are as a person, their positives, their negatives, their great, their soul desires, and that sort of thing. It's really a fabulous study.
Yeah. We spoke about a week and a half back, Richard, and a lot of that sounds very, very similar to the alleged matrix, the computer coding.
I'm sorry?
It sounds very, very similar to the alleged matrix that a lot of people say that we're living in.
Well, it is. One of my books is called The Age of the Female, 1,000 Years of Yin. And it compares the last 1,000 years numerologically to this particular 1,000 years that we're in. And we're only 1.5% of the way into this particular millennium. And the two, for example, in numerology represents others. It rules female energy as well, but it also represents division and indirect action. For example, what you're seeing in France, for example, to bring this current from the sad affairs of the week, and of course, all of our hearts and prayers go out to the people in Paris But this will probably not be the last, because two, in its negative form, rules division and indirect action. In the last 1,000 years, you remember that one of the sayings was, in war, never fire until you see the whites of their eyes. That's direct. You see your enemy, you see your opponent. One of the attributes, of course, of the two negative attributes is this division and indirect action. Indirect action is not always bad, but it does rule things like terrorism. Now we never know who the enemy is. And so we have to learn to deal with that. I must say also, in contradistinction, that the highest level of the two energy is perfect peace and balance. Think of a teeter-totter and being in the middle. Unfortunately, in this world, because it is another pole of creation, human beings do not usually act on the highest end of the spectrum of any particular number, unfortunately. And also, if you look at timelines of events, let's say it's a month or a year, a decade, a century, even a millennium, the issues and problems of those periods are usually dictated in the very beginning of those periods. For example, think of 9/11. That happened in the year 2001. One is an energy of Genesis. All things begin in a one period. And that happened in the 9th month of the first year of the second millennium. So now the world has never been and will never be the same again after 9/11. That was the problem that was established early on. And now we keep having the same kind of problems. My concern is that this problem, well, we won't even get a handle on it until the end of this century. So we have a lot of work to do. And the main message here, the positive message, is for individuals to remain balanced and centered and to not succumb to the passivity and the apathy that the two can also represent, but to learn to stay very balanced in their approach and proactive in that sense.
That's very interesting. Well, it's been known for a long, long time that we are just nothing but energy. I think you mentioned the last time we spoke that computer coding is zeros and ones, just in different sequences.
It absolutely is. And this is one of the messages that I have for people, is that we are not, as human beings, just mere brain, blood, bone, sinew, and all of that. We are actually energy. If people start looking at that and looking at their numbers, and they learn to understand the relationship of their own numbers with their life's events, they will see a perfection and an intelligence that transcends the comprehension of the human mind. It is absolutely stunning. I've been involved in numerology now for 35 years, 10 books, of course, that I've written, and more to come. But those books are designed to show people this reality so they can learn about their own lives, where they're going, the positives and negatives about each of our lives. And each of our lives does have good karmas and bad karmas to it. None of us is perfect. We all have faults and failings, but we can see all of this in our numbers and in the path of our numbers. So once we learn numerology, we can really understand ourselves, we can understand others, we can even understand how to plan for the coming events of our lives. We can raise our children by their numbers, not what we want them to do. And one of the most powerful aspects, I think, of numerology, especially for those people who still wonder if there's a God. Well, there is, and if a person does not have an intuitive or internal understanding that there is a creative power, were they to study numerology, they would understand that, because they would be able to see things in their numbers that are absolutely perfect. And their lives, their events of those lives, manifest exactly what those numbers represent. Each of us is our numbers. We talk our numbers, and we cannot not be our numbers. In other words, we cannot be the energy fields that that comprise us. For example, rather when you see a person, rather than see them as just a body with a head and torso and hands and feet and legs and arms and so forth, see them as a painted sculpture, as a picture. And in that picture, there are different kinds of energy fields. So we are a conglomerate of different kinds of energies. None of us is the same. We are all like snowflakes. We're all the same, but we're all very different. And we can actually see that when we understand numbers.
I think I understand what you're saying there. How can somebody plan their future around numerology? You just happened to mention that just a couple of minutes ago.
Well, they can't. Their future's already planned. You know, we cannot change our destiny. And if you'd like, I can give you many quotes to that effect, that we do have a destiny. It's inescapable. But the thing to do is to learn to translate your name and your birth date into numbers and start understanding the formulae that are needed to know who you are, where you're going, and so on and so forth. That's what I tend to do in my books. The first five books of the King's Numerology series are dedicated to student work. If you really want to learn, then you can go there. They're basically texts that teach you how to do this. There are other books that I have that also teach you, but they're not in that King's Numerology series as of yet. I plan to put them all in there. But for example, Your Love Numbers is a book which shows you how to determine a relationship that would be good to you, good for you, and how to determine before you ever get into the relationship if it's going to work or not, and the resonances of your relationship with a significant other, your children, your parents, whomever. It's all there once you learn how to translate everything.
I see. And I don't know why we're getting that wind tunnel thing going on there, but...
Did I unbox all of the things in Skype I was supposed to?
Yeah, I think it... I don't know if there could be something else going on, but I'm not sure.
Sorry about that.
No, I don't think it's your issue. I think it's somewhere else. It could be in Skype. I don't know, but... you have another interesting book, the Galactic Transcripts. What is that all about, Richard?
Well, it's a fascinating book. The Galactic Transcripts is based on a true story. I have, in my past, been interested in ufology and that sort of thing. And there was this woman, whom I know, and I knew her husband, who, after he died, gave me a series of transmissions from alien beings, which I transcribed into text, because these were done on a typewriter that was back in the 50s. Basically, the story is based on a pilot who in the late 50s and early 60s had seen a UFO. He became involved in a group of people, other pilots, who once a week would get together and take transmissions, either through automatic writing or telepathy or even the Ouija board. And then they would, after they took those down, they would print them up and they became a group of texts. This woman, when her husband died, knew that I was interested. So she just gave them to me. She said, here, you can have them. I don't want anything to do with them. I know you're interested in this, so do with them what you will. So what I did is I transcribed them into regular modern day typewriter and published them. There are 30 something of them. They're fascinating. They talk about other worlds. They talk about this galactic brotherhood and so on and so forth. So that's not my writing. It is a transcription, but I put my name on it because I was allowed to do that, obviously. But there, it's an interesting study, actually.
Is that where, some people have been able to communicate with some of these other beings or some of these other alien species?
Well, apparently so. Now, I knew this woman's husband. And he was a brilliant man, and he wasn't given to flights of fancy. He would not have ever become involved in something like this if it were just silly stuff. He was highly educated, and that's what struck me about it, and that's why I decided to pass these on to the public. I had a friend with whom I shared these writings, and she said, you've got to publish these. You've got to let other people know what these messages are. And for example, in one of these transcripts, and I forget the number offhand, it talks about an entire world. And this is awesome. An entire world in which every human being on that world is involved in art of some capacity. And this civilization had developed the science of artistic development to such a degree that pictures would actually change with the seasons. And water would flow and all these kinds of stuff. So one of my friends is an artist, and she became enraptured with that particular chapter because it was so phenomenal that an entire world was dedicated only to the expression of art. Fascinating stuff.
Well, do you believe in Do you believe in ufology and UFOs and aliens?
Yes, I do. I think it's, first of all, when you look at the size of this solar system alone, or let's say our galaxy, the Milky Way, as I understand it, it would take 100,000 light years to travel from side to side if this were laid on a flat plane. If you're going from top to bottom, it would take 10,000 light years. And how many trillions of galaxies are there? God is infinite. I do not see how he would relegate human beings or life, intelligent life, to only this little planet on the spiral arm of this one average-sized galaxy. It doesn't make any sense to me. And we're a pretty young world as worlds go. So yes, I absolutely believe that that's possible.
Well, a lot of people have said in the past few decades in that there may be a intervention or a disclosure on these alien beings out there. But a lot of other people also say that they will never intervene or disclose their presence because we are such a moral society.
Did you say amoral or moral?
Amoral, yes.
Yeah, I think so. And in fact, one of the transcripts in the galactic transcripts toward the end talks about how one of these people have always been monitoring the Earth. And this one individual reported back as to how negative it was down here. And really, when you get down to basics, it really is. We haven't even mastered how to be balanced as a civilization. And the current events indicate that when you think of all the division, the fighting, the negativity that goes on in our world, we're not really that evolved of a species for sure. I hope that we don't destroy ourselves. And I think that there are good forces that will keep this Earth from annihilating itself. And that's the hope, because we're playing, especially when you look at all of the people now that are getting nuclear arms in the Middle East and the rogue people and their agendas, it's a pretty dangerous world we live in.
I'm so glad you said that word correctly, Richard.
Which one?
Nuclear.
Yes, it is nuclear.
I hear so many of these people that claim that they're intelligent and claim that they're red, and then they come out and say the word nuclear.
Oh.
But I don't know, it just exasperates me every time. I want to throw my remote.
I'm an English major, Stephen, and of course, being a writer, words fascinate me. And I hear all the time on the news, too, how words can be mispronounced.
Yeah, skewed. By reports.
And I do it, too, of course. It's hard. You can't pronounce every word in the English language correctly. So, anyway.
Well, yeah, but that's a very important one, though. You know, if they are going to be claimed to be intelligent and claimed to be wise and want to be politicians, they should know that word anyways. But
actually these days,
yeah. I don't know, it's just one of my little pet peeves there, Richard, but
we all have them, Stephen, no worries.
Yeah, I think there's been there's been art over the millennium that have kind of given the idea that aliens have been around. There's been carvings in the earth, carvings in rocks, paintings that go back to, you know, the 11th century or the 9th sure. century or something that show what could be an alien presence.
There is so much information out there to show that there have been other forces. In fact, what I find interesting now, and here's another thing too, Stephen, is the number two represents others. When, and what we can talk more about all of the art and other extraterrestrial beings here on our planet. But think of Apollo 11. I mentioned this in The Age of the Female. It's one of the events that occurred to bring us into the second millennium. When Apollo 11 landed on the moon, this was one of the greatest actions in our human history, because basically it was man, Earthman, moving on to an other world, another world. The moon has always been seen as a feminine. And here we have man moving onto a feminine sphere, the moon, which is an other world. And that's exactly what the two represents. It's also interesting to know that Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin had heavy two energy in their charts. But Michael Collins, who was in the ship circling the moon, had no two energy. So it was absolutely energetically resonant for these gentlemen, especially Armstrong, to put foot on the moon, because they're the ones that had the two energies. So there has to be a connection in the events of those people's lives and their numbers, as was there. Also, if you go to the 30th anniversary, and people can Google this, the patch of the 30th anniversary of Apollo 11, you will see that the word Apollo, the two L's, are elevated to make an 11. 11 is an interesting number. It is the transition cipher of the number 2. 1 and 1 make 2. So you take numbers such as 29, 38, 47, 56, and so forth. You add those two numbers together, those two individual ciphers, they will equal an 11. The two ones illustrate either one ideology versus another ideology, one ego versus another ego, one culture versus another culture. And that all started in the late 1900s, which was the 20th century. So we have an overlap between the ending of the last 1,000 years and the beginning of this second millennium. In fact, there are so many firsts in that I mentioned in the age of the female that were moving us into this second millennium. Take the Wright brothers and Kitty Hawk, the first human in space, which was Russian, the first man and woman. They had two energy massive in their charts. And so I correlate the number 2 with all these firsts, because it makes sense that if we're moving into the second millennium, then the major players in the latter part of the 1900s and in the 20th century there would have to have two energy, because there's a resonance going on. So I tried to show that correlation to people so they would go, oh yes, these numbers are absolutely accurate. We are exactly where we should be. The problem is, can we create peace and balance in our culture now? My concern is it's going to take a long time for us to get there, because man is so slow to make adjustments, and he's not really a peaceful creature. He's more of a warlike creature. So here we have the opposite sides of the two, peace on one side and war on the other side, which is common to all numbers. All numbers have a positive and negative aspect. So anyway, I find it very interesting, all this.
Yes. Yes, it actually is. I have a nagging question. I don't ask very often. I mean, I think it's probably the first time I've ever asked it on air, Richard, but can you clear up for me when the actual end of the last millennium was? Was it 2000?
The second millennium started in the first second of the year 2000.
I'm sorry?
So the second millennium, which we're in now, this 2000-year period, began in the first second of the year 2000. I've seen different people go, and I said, well, this is illogical. Yeah. It's not illogical when it's the first second of the second millennium. It's not when 2001 comes into being. I've seen that happen. For example, when a child is created in the womb, its life begins in the womb, and then it's born, it's given birth, and then it waits, you know, 12 years later, then we have the first birthday, so to speak. It's been alive a year, and we say that it's a year old. So this last millennium ended in the last second of December 31st, 1999.
Okay. Okay.
And then in the next second, then the second millennium started. But there, these time changes, it's not like a clear line of demarcation. There's what I call an orb. And in the case of a millennium, that orb can move 100 years on either side. So it's like an artist would use, is it called flaring? Or there's something like that when the lines they draw are indistinct. Think of an aura around a line. So that's what we have here. So that's why in the 1900s, we see all of the push toward female energy. For example, in Seneca Falls in the 1850s, this is the first convention when women had their rights. And then when did they get those? In 1920, when that was passed. It's absolutely perfect that that would happen in those times. 1920, there's the two energy itself. It's right there. So it's absolutely fascinating.
I also wanted to tell you, told me the last time we spoke that I should write up a little thing on what I want to do and send it to you. And I haven't even gotten to that yet, but I will. That's another discussion, not on air, but parenting wisdom, what to teach the children. What do you discuss in that book? Well, it says the 21st century, raising your children by the numbers.
Yeah, that's a two-part series, actually. Parenting wisdom for the 21st century is a book that teaches parents how to take their children's names and their birth dates, correlate them to numbers, so parents will know, have a blueprint for each of their children. So within the first 5 minutes of a child's life, a basic matrix, a personal profile for that child can be generated. And we can see exactly where that child is going. We can see what it wants, its soul desires. We can see its personality. We can see the path it's going to follow. We can see the role it's going to give on the great life stage. We can see its weaknesses, its strengths. And therefore, we can direct our children where they are going, not necessarily where we want them to go. For example, I was asked to give readings to some senior high school students who were going off to college. This is quite a few years ago. And these were quick readings, about 15 minutes each. But when I got to the site, the mothers also wanted for their children, they wanted just not readings for the children alone, but themselves as well. So I did this one woman, and she had a lot of 8 energy in her chart. 8 energy is a number of social integration. It's the highest number of social integration. 8s integrate. They orchestrate. They manage. They involve themselves in society.
They're movers and shakers?
Yes.
Okay.
As are 9s. But they 8s are the people that really want to be out mixing and doing, working in society. As opposed to, for example, a 7 energy. 7 is an energy that's reclusive. It's recessive. When we think of the 7 energy, you can think of a person just the thinker. Rodin's The Thinker is a very good illustration of what the 7 energy represents. It cares nothing about socially integrating itself. 7s are the thinkers. They're the ones who ask questions. All of the people who come to me usually have 7s in their charts because they want to know what's going on with their lives. People who have no 7s or no dominant 7s usually don't seek my counsel because they're not interested in their lives. They're interested in what's external, not what's internal. So anyway, I did this woman's chart. She had a lot of 8 energy. The last person to come up, and this young man had been standing off to the side watching all of this happen. So he's very interested, but he's very shy. He's very reserved, which is what 7 energy is. He came up to the table, and as he came up, his mother sat down beside me. Remember, she had already had her reading. He sat across from me. I did just a few calculations, and sure enough, he had major 7 energy in his chart, which made him shy, reclusive, but very smart and wanting to be by himself a lot. So when I started telling him about himself, he looked up at me and honest to God, Stephen, this young man smiled from ear to ear. And it was in that moment, I felt such joy for him, but pain also because of what he had been missing. And right also at that moment, his mother said to me, "Oh my gosh, I have been raising my child the wrong way his whole life." What she was doing, and which is common to most parents, and which is not a fault, this is just how parenting has been up to this point before the 21st century. That's why I named this Parenting Wisdom for that 21st century, i.e. now.
Yeah.
She had all this 8 energy, so she was trying to make him into something that he intrinsically was not. There's no way he could be like her because his numbers were antithetical to hers. He wanted to be alone. He wanted to think. He wanted to be the researcher and all of that. But she was the social integrator. She liked to move and shake, but he did not want to do that. So it was in that moment that I realized that I had to publish knowledge that I had had for years, but I hadn't published it yet. So I put it together and published it in a book called Your Love Numbers, which also I put into the Parenting Wisdom book, in case people just thought the love book was about love. But the parents have such a duty to raise their child. And if they only knew their child's destiny, they could guide that child the way the child's life was going, not the way the parents were. And that's where the wisdom comes in. Volume 2 of Parenting Wisdom is called, the subtitle is What to Teach the Children. That has no numerology in it whatsoever. That book contains maxims and ideas that I've used successfully to raise my children and helping to raise my grandchildren and also my martial arts students. I've been teaching martial arts professionally since forever, it seems. And they're excellent principles by which to raise children. And if parents need a guiding hand, I would recommend getting that book. If they don't need to know the numbers if they don't want to. But if they want to know principles, for example, we see all of, especially in college campuses now,
That's what I was going to ask you.
Missouri and Yale, yeah. And all these. We see these children wanting safe zones. Well, this is a result, frankly, in my opinion, as a martial art instructor who has taught thousands of children, as a parent and a grandparent, these were children who were coddled. These were children who were pampered because they want to create safe zones. There's nothing that's safe in this world.
No.
They want colleges to pay for their tuition. They want colleges to give them housing. They want colleges to pay for their birth control. This is what the two energy is too. It's about dependence, not independence. And one of the phrases that I have lived by, and even my 3-year-old granddaughter knows, is your life, your responsibility. This is how real life is. But when we coddle children and we pamper them too much and we make them think they're great and we protect them, then when they get out in the world, all of a sudden they feel fear. And it's the fear that's motivating all of this.
I need to interrupt you for something. Sure. I wanted to share something with you, Richard. It's been like about, I don't know, 2.5 to 3 years back now, but there was a teenage boy, I believe he was 16. His, I think it was somewhere out there in California, Southern California or somewhere anyways, but his parents were quite affluent and quite wealthy, and he ended up running his car into a crowd of people in whatever situation he was in, and killed like 2 or 3 people. And at the trial, his lawyer actually tried and got away with it, but their defense was he was born into this affluent family, and he didn't really understand and know that it was wrong, the things that he were doing that led up to the accident. And the kid got off with, a smack on the back of the wrist.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Wrong. The parents should never have done that. Now, here's the thing. We all have a destiny. It's to the minute. It's to the second, actually. So that couldn't have been avoided. But that said, parents still have an obligation, in my mind, to teach their children that this is your life. It's your responsibility. And whatever you do, you're responsible for. That really can't be an adequate defense just because. If you do wrong, then you need to be held accountable by the standards that the society sets. And that's what needs to be done. Ultimately, karma is the judge. Anyway, that's how I see it. But we see that happening all the time where people do things that are crazy. You can see that in their numbers, actually. I have many articles on my website, richardking.net, in the numerology section. And then in the article section, I've got over 100 articles in there, many of which show the relationship between people's numbers and people's lives. And one of them is Jody Arias. You remember her?
No, I don't, but you actually told
Jody
me about
Arias
her last time.
Jody Arias woman who hadn't had a love affair with a guy. It went bad. She ended up shooting him, slicing his throat, stabbing him up to 30 times. There's a 3-part article, and it shows her numbers, and they're really horrendous numbers. There are certain number patterns that are very dark. And she had multiple, what I call stacking, multiple instances of those numbers in her chart. And so we could see that her life was going to be dark. If we knew that in the beginning of her life, then perhaps those people in the healthcare industry could have approached her and her life earlier on to try to help with her. In fact, I'm very adamant that I believe psychologists and doctors and people who are involved in the healthcare industry would be well served if they started studying numerology. I do have quite a few PhDs who have endorsed my work. I would like to see more people get involved with it, because within minutes, you can see problems that children are going to have as they grow up. Now, this study is just getting, it's just beginning. My work, I just feel I've just scratched the surface even after 35 years. So a lot can still be known, but it is there, and it is very clear that there are going to be some problems if people will pay attention to them and start studying this science of numbers, i.e. numerology.
How would you go about doing that for someone?
Well, I think in my mind, start with my books. I think I started my search because I wasn't finding enough depth of knowledge in the books at the time. I started my journey in numerology in 1980. I read everything I could get my hands on, but there wasn't enough depth to that. So I started doing my own research. And from that research, I developed the King's Numerology System. The subtitle for that is Discovering the Divine Design of Your Life, because truly our lives are divinely designed. There's no question in my mind about it. I don't make any excuses or apologies for talking about God. God is that living, conscious energy that exists, that created us, and we can see it in numbers. It's as clear as day. So there is this power. So that I would recommend, if a person wanted to study numerology, to start with those first five books that I have, the King's Book of Numerology series, volumes 1 through 5. There will be 6, 7, 8, and so forth coming, but those will give you an excellent basis of how to determine what your life is, where you're going, what your children's lives are, your relationships, and that sort of thing.
Can you, I don't know if you can do it off the top of your head. Maybe you might have to open one of the books or something, but can you give me an example on some of these people that you've actually studied?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Let me just bring up my website here. And
well, you have another book. I think I mentioned in the beginning, Life of the Rich and Famous, or
Destinies of the Rich and
Destiny
Famous.
Destiny of the Rich and Famous, yes.
Yeah, that's another book. It doesn't teach you, that book does not teach you how to do numerology. What it shows you, I take 12 featured icons throughout history that we all know: Albert Einstein, Elvis Presley, Amelia Earhart, John F. Kennedy, Marilyn Monroe, Oprah's in there, Michael Jackson, Muhammad Ali, all these people. And I correlate their life's numbers with the events of their lives. And I use those people we all know because it's easy. Let's say if you do somebody like Elvis Presley. Elvis Presley is still an icon, and he's been dead for how long now? But you can see in his numbers exactly why he was, what he was, and who he was. The same thing is true of Marilyn Monroe and Princess Diana. Their lives are all there. I show people how to correlate those, so they'll go, oh, light bulb, light bulb, light bulb, light bulb. There is a correlation between these people's numbers and their lives. Maybe I should get involved in this, and I hope that's what they would do. Let's take, for example, we'll bring things current. Let's say Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. I think most people would agree that these people have very strong personalities, right?
Yes.
But in each of their cases, their what we call their PE, the role they are going to give in life, is a 99.9. 9 is the most powerful number of the alphanumeric spectrum, the numbers 1 through 9. 9, in fact, is all numbers. If you were to add the numbers 1 through 9 together, 1 plus 2 plus 3, etc., the result is a 45. 4 and 5 make a 9. If you were, in fact, to add the numbers 1 through 8 together, those numbers would also equal a 9. So the thing is that 9 contains all numbers within it, and it reflects all numbers to themselves. 9 plus 5 is 14, 1 plus 4 is 5, 9 plus 8 is 17, 1 plus 7 is 8. 9 is the only number that does that. So I call it the grand ruler, the grand elemental. Anything that's attached, any number that's attached to a 9 becomes amplified. And so Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump both have this in the power part of their chart, which represents the role they're going to give. And they both have very strong personalities, and they're pretty dominant, and they're also both arrogant. I think most people would believe
they are.
That.
Arrogant and rich, yeah.
Interestingly enough, when you look at Donald Trump has a 3 challenge. Now, 3 in a challenge position, or any number in a challenge position, means that this is where we're going to be putting our energy. We are forced to put our energy in those numbers. 3, though, rules communication. It rules image and images. It rules the words and so on and so forth. And what is probably, if there were an Achilles heel to Donald Trump, what is it? It's his speech. He's always attacking other people with negative words. That, I don't know if that's going to be his downfall or not, but that you can see that clearly in his chart because of that 3 in there. Fascinating. So anyway, the Destinies of the Rich and Famous takes these 12 people and correlates their lives and their numbers so people can really see what's going on. Now, you wanted to know some articles, for example. Let's take... Go ahead.
Well, the last time we talked, you give me just a small indication of what my life should be with my numbers in that.
A few of the numbers we talked about.
Yeah. I don't even recall what you said my numbers were, though, now.
Do not recall?
No, I don't.
Oh, shame on you, Stephen. You should have taken notes.
Well, yeah.
Okay. Well, we can do that again if you'd like.
Sure.
Okay, so just give me a second. What I'm going to need, I have a little program here, so what I'm going to need is for you to, I know it's Stephen, S-E-P-H-E,
yes.
And what was your middle name?
C as in Craig.
Stephen, C-R-A-I-G, okay. And hang on 1 second. Whoops, hang on, I'm just having trouble typing here.
I probably talked to 100 people since the last time I talked to you then, Richard. Or maybe even more, who knows.
I'm sure you have, and you're a busy man. So Stephen Craig Roberts, correct?
Yes.
With a P-H. And the month you were born?
April.
And the year?
64.
Okay, one moment. And the day?
23rd.
Okay, now what I'm going to do is just do a very casual reading. Normally, I do it for you because you're hosting the show. Call-ins, I usually don't do that because for me to do a full chart takes me a couple hours to construct the chart. Then I have to study it and see all the nuances before I ever sit down with somebody for the consultation. If I do a quickie reading, then there may be other numbers that I miss in the chart that I haven't studied yet that would mitigate or not necessarily invalidate, but still have an issue or an effect on other numbers. So I'm careful not to do that. But let's just talk about your chart right now. One of the, your life path is a two. And the life path is literally the path down which we will follow in life. We're going to follow that. That comes from your birth date of 23 April 1964. When you add those numbers together, you will get a 2 in reduction. It has roots of 29 and 47. 47, by the way, is mental analysis. So whenever we see that number, the 47 or the 74, that's analysis of structure, which is what you do in a sense. So the 2 is all about relationships. So your whole life, you will be learning positive, negative lessons about relationships in some capacity. Your expression, this comes from your name, your full birth name, Stephen Craig Roberts, is a 6. 6 is a number of the heart when we think of symbols. 2, the symbol would be a balance, like a teeter-totter. But the 6 is about the heart. It's about personal love and nurturing, things like that. Interestingly, the specific expression, one of the roots, which you can learn about in KBN1, King's Book of Numerology, Volume 1, is a 222. So now we see that it's not just a 6, but it's a 6 that is heavily saturated in relationship energy. That 222 is what we call a trimester. So it's a 3-digit number that's all the same, has the same cipher to it. So a nurturing person has to do with helping others, very home-oriented and so forth. The role that you are going to give on the great life stage is an 8, which is social integration. And what are you doing with your radio show? You are integrating all of your audiences and me and your guests and other people. So that's going to be what you do. 8 is also a number of commerce and a number of business as well. Now, this is important. The first number I always look at in a chart is the soul number. The soul defines what people want more than anything else in life. Your soul number is a 4. 4 is a number of stability, security, building. 4 rules all things of structure.
Is that right?
I'm sorry?
Is that right? Okay.
Don't you believe that?
Repeat that for me again so I can
the 4 in a soul position represents all things of structure. Financial stability, for example. Consistency, routines, work. 4 is love to work. 4s can be very rooted in the things that they do. But structure and stability and security are very important to a 4 person.
Yeah.
Regulation, things like that.
Okay.
So you would be, think of...
That makes a lot of sense, yeah.
Right? I mean, you like to work and you are always on, generally I would suspect that you're on time to work. You like to do that.
Oh, yes.
You like to be of service.
Oh, yes.
To other people. Very important for you. Also, because of your 6 expression, we know not only do you want to be of service, but you want to be of a nurturing service and helping people.
I do. Yeah. Absolutely do.
And your material soul is also a 6. So there's a deep need in you to nurture and help other people. It's not only in your soul layers, which define your most basic needs, wants, and desires, but it's also who you are. This is a wonderful thing when you have a soul energy matching the expression, the person's name, because the outer part of you matches the inner part, and it gives you a sense of peace about who you are. Oftentimes, we see a conflict, however, in what a person wants and who they are or what their life is doing for them, and that creates all kinds of anxieties. Lucky for you that your 6 material soul is exactly like your expression.
Yeah. What did... Now,
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
What does some of these famous people that you look at in Destiny of the Rich and Famous, what do they have in their numerology that takes them to where they went to?
Oh, it's very fascinating. One of the guys I like is George Patton, and famous general of World War II, for those who are too young and don't know him. General Patton was probably the greatest general certainly that we had at that time, other than MacArthur. And Patton's life path was a 44, and 44 make an 8. This is a generalship number. You will also see other generals, people who have a capacity for understanding the flow of components. Also, MacArthur in the Pacific Theater also had 44 in his chart. The word military, interestingly enough, is also a 44-8. And so when we look at the charts of Patton, we can see his generalship. Patton also had a 3 void. We talked about 3 voids being giving a problem with communication. Now, Donald Trump has a 3 challenge. He doesn't have a 3 void. But George Patton did have a 3 void. In other words, he had no CLs or U's in his natal name, his birth name. And his mouth would get him in trouble a lot. Now, he would give great speeches, and he could inspire his troops to no end. But he lost part of his command because of an event where he slapped a soldier and ridiculed him, and people got on his case for doing that. And in fact, he was relieved of his command. He later got it back. But his words got him in trouble. That's one. Another thing you'll find in that book is people like Amelia Earhart, John F. Kennedy, Marilyn Monroe, Michael Jackson, all had massive problems in their lives when the 16-7 energy was in an outcome position. Amelia Earhart went missing in that time period. It's also the same time period that Michael Jackson's life started to fall apart. It's the same time period that Marilyn Monroe died, whether it was murder or whether it was an overdose. Nobody really knows for sure. But all of those numbers are there in their charts, and we can correlate the 16-7 with the events of those people's lives. And if you look at the lives, too, of Marilyn Monroe and Princess Diana, they're very similar. Both ladies were born on the first of the month. Both had the same voids in the chart. Marilyn Monroe, I think, had one more than Princess Diana. They both died at 36 under mysterious circumstances. They had the same name number, life path number, and PE number. Fascinating. And they both had tragic lives. They both had a 7 life path, a 16-7 life path, which is, frankly, the most difficult of all life paths. It has more testing than any other life path.
I guess I never really realized how young or how old Marilyn Monroe was.
She was 36. Both of them died at 36.
36, yeah.
But she's still an icon, just like so many of these people, including Elvis Presley.
Yep, Michael Jackson, yeah.
Michael Jackson, still an icon. And you can see the power of their numbers. So many of these people all have 9s that are dominant. 9 is the number that takes us out into the public stage. Princess Diana, for example, had a 9 soul. So she was very humanitarian in her approach to life. Marilyn Monroe did not. Marilyn Monroe had a lot of 33-6 energy, which is a high sexual energy. And that's what her symbol was. She wanted to be a sex symbol. Unfortunately, the way karma is, she ended up experiencing the dark side of those numbers running amok. And it's one thing for those people listening who understand master numbers. Master numbers have a lot of power to them. And when you see them, you need to understand that they can give a lot of light, but they can, like nuclear energy, also create a lot of trouble and destruction. So when we have those in our charts, we have to be very, very careful that we don't fall off the deep end. And they're more prevalent than people think. Charlie Sheen's a good example of that. A lot of 33 in his chart, and he got into drugs and partying and all of that. And that's one of the downsides of the 33 master number.
Yeah. Well, it seems like we only have about 2.5-3 minutes left here, Richard. Would you like to say anything while I put the richardking.net?
Yes, thank you. I'd like to give people my contact numbers, if you would. Richardking.net is my website. You can also go to kingskarate.net. That's my karate website. All of my books are there. My books are also on Amazon under my author name, Richard Andrew King. I can be contacted at rich@richardking.net. My Twitter handle is 1RichKing. My, what is it? YouTube is RichKing66 if they want to go there, and King's Numerology on Facebook and King's Karate on Facebook. Those are my links there. So I appreciate you allowing me to do that, Stephen. Thank you very much.
Oh, well, you're very welcome. I will also produce this into a YouTube video and give you a link or provide you a link for it.
I'll send it to people on my list.
Okay. Did you happen to receive the link of the MP3 that I made and sent to you?
Yes and no. I got it and I looked at it and then somehow it disappeared. So if you could resend that to me, I would be grateful.
Okay. I will do.
I'll send all my other emails.
Well, that's not hard to do sometimes. But I do thank you for coming on the second hour, Richard.
Stephen, thank you so much for having me. I'm grateful. It's wonderful to be able to share this knowledge with people.
Okay. Do you have anything else to say then? Or
no, sir. We're good. You have a great day. Godspeed.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, everyone. I'm just going to go ahead and sign off here. I think I don't have much time left until Hawk takes the studio and does his thing. So, everyone, thanks for coming out, and I will see everyone real soon. I'm Stephen Roberts, and this has been Cancel the Cabal.